Welcome to the Let Good Things In show. I'm your host, Amanda Acker. I am so happy you are here. At the Let Good Things In show, we talk all about second chances, resiliency, following your intuition, and even music. Listen to hear stories of hope and to be inspired. Remember, you are stronger than you think. Let's dive in. Hi, my amazing humans. Thank you so much for tuning in today. On today's episode, I'm going to tell you all about my college experience and how I ended up failing out of college and some of the things that happened shortly after that because of that happening. So we're going to get into that. And just to recap from last week's episode, if you didn't get a chance to watch it, I go into detail about being a child of divorce and my experiences and the things that I learned from that experience. And so we're going to dive right on into the next part of my story, which is my college experience. So to start out, before going to college, I was very much hesitant about it, even though it had been a dream of mine to go to college. I would vision myself going and graduating and just getting a really fancy job and all these things. But when it came time to actually go and do that part of my life, I didn't feel ready. I felt in my gut that I needed to take some time because of everything I had been through recently and just figuring out what I actually want to do before diving into a whole new experience. But at this point, my dad did not like that idea and told me that I really needed to go right away after I graduated and not take this year off. So I felt as though, even though my gut was telling me that I wanted to take a year off, I didn't feel comfortable standing up for myself and truly saying that to a point where I would be heard. So I just kind of hid that part after so many times of asking if I could take a year off. I just gave up on it. I gave up on myself. And so I go to college, and when I first arrived, when I first arrived to college, it was one of those things where even though I was surrounded by like my dad, my stepmom was there, you know, my boyfriend at the time and a good friend of mine at the time were all there with me for this experience, but in some ways it made it even more hard on me. And mind you, I went to college 2 hours from home, so I wasn't in a different state. It was very much attainable if I wanted to come home for a weekend. But to me, it was as if I was on the complete other side of the country. Like it was, for some reason, it was very hard for me to say goodbye and to let go of that and to be on my own in that way. So everything starts out fine. Like I was nervous, so I stayed kind of on my floor, but everyone on the floor was really nice and welcoming. So I felt okay there. But quickly, I was getting very uncomfortable and I felt like I was never going to have friends because I just wasn't truly clicking with anyone. And I wanted to party. I thought that's what you did in college. You know, you went to class and you partied, and I wanted to experience that part of it because I had already experienced partying before going to college, and I wanted to do that still. And being as though I was so nervous and shy to be there, I thought, well, if I can just go have a beer, I'm going to feel better and I'll be able to socialize with more people and make those connections. So instead of, you know, like just staying put and allowing things to happen and hang out with the good people I had met, I chose to seek out the bad people because I felt in that time in my life that that's where I belonged. Like I had this pull, almost like I needed to be with those types of people. I didn't belong anywhere else. So with that, like my roommate at the time was, you know, I feel like we were polar opposites, right? She's a cheerleader. I wear black. You know, she was into like going to the games, obviously, because she was a cheerleader, and country music. And I wanted to listen to metal and Blink-182 every single day, all day long at very high volumes. Smoke cigarettes, like all these things. So we and her kind of just started to butt heads And this one day, I found out about this dance club that was near college, and I decided that I wanted to go. But I still hadn't broken out of my shell at this point, so I was still hanging out mostly with the people on my floor. I hadn't been able to hang out with the so-called cool kids. So in that, I asked these two guys that I trusted to take me there. So we go, and I remember handing them my keys and telling them, do not allow me to leave with anyone. Don't allow me to do that. And they agreed, and we go in, and of course, they were like wallflowers. They just stood there, and I'm like, yay, party! Like, Amanda's like dancing, and I'm so excited, and there's all these people, and I just felt like almost as if like I was at peace in that moment. And even though I was a super shy person, but I was in a sea of people who didn't even know me and were coming up to me and dancing with me, and it was just a totally different atmosphere for me. And so I end up meeting this guy there, and we're dancing. It was so much fun. And he says, hey, do you want to leave and go to this party? And I'm thinking, okay, like I can get a beer finally, you know, because I couldn't drink at this club. So I go back to my friends and I ask them, I said, can I have my keys? I think I'm going to leave with this person. And even though they promised me they wouldn't let me leave anyone but them, they just didn't even blink an eyelash at me and handed me my keys. And even though, like, in that particular moment, I definitely did not have this thought cross my mind, but looking back, that's when my trust for people really started to dwindle, and I started to not believe anything anyone told me because I didn't feel like anyone actually cared at that point because I thought those guys were my friends, like true friends, and they didn't follow through on that promise. So we're leaving and I get into this guy's car and I'm thinking, woohoo, party, you know? And then we get to this house. I don't even know how far away I was from campus or anything that I knew. We ended up there and we go in and I'm looking around and it looks like a family home, like parents and kids live in this home or, you know, brothers and sisters or something. And I notice all these beer cans, but then I start to notice like, huh, there's nobody else here. And I instantly got extremely uncomfortable and I knew I needed to get out of here. But I asked him something along the lines of, you know, like, when's everyone else getting here? And don't remember what he said to that, but I do remember sitting down on his couch and we were watching something on TV. And then he assaulted me. And I remember there was this coffee table, like, right next to us. And we were pretty close. The couch was fairly close to it. And I remember thinking to myself, if I can just push him off of me, I can throw him into this coffee table. And I just kept pushing and pushing and kicking and whatever I could to get him off of me. And finally, I don't remember how it happened, but he did. And I said, please just take me home. So then after I'd been attacked by this person, I, for some unknown reason, trusted him that he was going to take me back to my dorms. Looking back, I would have screamed at myself. It was a really bad decision that luckily did not turn out bad. He did take me to the dorm. I remember it by this point, it's like 5-6 o'clock in the morning and I'm just arriving and I had all my clubbing clothes, like bright red pleather pants and some ridiculous shirt. But I'm walking across campus so devastated and embarrassed, shame, like true deep shame for what I felt I had just done. Not what he had done to me, but what I had done to put myself in that situation that could have had me killed. So I'm still roommates with the girl that I mentioned earlier, and I show back up at the dorm room and I face plant myself onto my bed, and I just got so upset still, like I didn't even undress, nothing. I just face planted, and I remember her asking me if I was okay, and I told her that I was. Because I didn't want to have to tell her what had happened because I was so embarrassed of myself. Somebody had just try to destroy my dignity and rape me, but I was mad at myself more than anything. Shortly after that had happened, me and this roommate decided that we could not live together very much longer because of my lifestyle versus her lifestyle, right? And I thought that was the right choice to make instead of trying to make it work with her and trying to check out some of the things she does and build that relationship with her, I walked away because it was easier to do that. And I thought that if I walked away, I could be me. So now I'm on the hunt for a new roommate, and I started going to frat parties quite often at this point. So I would meet other girls there. And I remember this one party I went to, and this very tall girl was, I don't even remember like what exactly was happening, but I just remember seeing her. She was so tall, and she was just having a great time and just really enjoying herself and laughing with the guys, drinking beer. And I was like, I was so intrigued by her. I needed to know this person. And most importantly, I wanted to be just like this person because she seemed to be loved and accepted by all these people. So I ended up talking with her and we became friends rather quickly. And we both decided that when we came back next semester that we were going to share a dorm together. So we get to this dorm and, you know, she was very much a party girl. And at this point, I was even more a party girl than I was prior to, you know, being in college. And so it was a great pair, right? What could be better? Two girls who don't take responsibility for themselves and party all the time. But that is what happened. And then I don't remember like what happened, but she was not always my roommate. So me and her didn't stay roommates. Because shortly into that friendship, I found this other girl who I really liked, another partier, and she introduced me to the wonderful world of pills. And before this instance, I had always been very afraid of pills because I knew that they were something that I would enjoy. I don't know, that might be weird to say, but it just felt aligned with me for some unknown reason. And so she tells me she has this pill that will make all of my anxiety and stress go away and I'm going to feel better. I'm going to feel like I fit in somewhere finally. So I do that with her, these Klonopins is what it was, and I instantly felt better. It was like, oh my goodness, like finally, I feel okay. This is what I needed. This is the ticket. Like this is going to take me to where I need to be so that I can be loved and accepted by everyone who ever enters my world. So I just kept taking them in any way, snort them, eat them, whatever, any way I could. But one day when I should have stopped, I didn't. I remember taking them and then having all this fun and then other pills got mixed in there and falling asleep. The next morning when I wake up, I thought, you know, like, it's the next day. So whatever happened last night, like, that's out of my system. Okay. So then this one person had asked me if I wanted to step outside that morning and smoke a joint. And I was like, well, yeah, sure. And we go out there to do that. And I remember I hit it once. And then the whole world had these rainbows. I remember going, whoa. And in the same breath and moment that I saw and reacted to it, I no longer had any functioning of my body. I was on the ground, puking, literally saw my life flash before my eyes. And if it wasn't for the person who was with me, this also would have killed me. So the ambulance came, the whole thing, big scene, I get carted off to the hospital. But what I didn't realize was happening is that I was literally sabotaging myself at any point, because I truly thought that if I went against myself and did what was cool instead of what was right, that was somehow going to fix all of my problems. That was somehow going to make me happy. Every time I tried, it failed. Every time I thought I had it, I was in my dorm room alone, crying over something. I was missing days of my life because I was doing so much drugs. I was not going to class because I couldn't get up in the morning And face it, I was literally destroying myself. And I kept making these choices that kept landing me in scenarios that I shouldn't have survived. But all I wanted was someone to love me. But in the end, I ended up failing out of college. And at first, I was slightly relieved. I was like, okay, now I can get my life in order. Now I'm away from all that. I can come home and I can go back to my house that I grew up in and life will go on and it'll all be okay. Kind of like whatever happened in college stayed in college. When I came home, what I did not realize is that shortly after this happening, my father was selling that house and living elsewhere, but there was no room for me. I don't remember ever being asked if I wanted to stay there with them. So now I fell out of college and now I'm living in this house that's empty. It's just me and the cat. And on top of that, I would wake up and there would be strangers in my house because the realtor was showing the house and I wasn't aware. So I started thinking to myself, well, I can't stay here because soon enough it's going to be gone anyway. I need to find some place to go. But I don't believe I had a job. I may have, but it wasn't enough money to support myself. So I would need someone to live with. And so I ended up dating this guy who was much older than me. When I say much, I want to say he's about 10 years older than me. And he says, well, you can come and stay. I was talking to him. We kind of were dating or whatever. And he said that I could come and stay with him in his apartment. But I couldn't bring my cat. And I had to go from my home to a shoebox apartment that wasn't mine in the blink of an eye. And I remember this one night before I moved out and in with this person. I told myself I had to go back to college. I couldn't not go. So I called the school or somehow found out that I could get this loan, but my dad would have to sign off on it or co-sign it. So I called him thinking, oh, he's going to say yes. He believes in me, but he didn't. And I think in that moment, I gave up. I gave up on me. I gave up on believing that I was good enough. So I moved in with this person. And at first it was fine. We got along, seemingly normal relationship, but he started to get kind of forceful with me and certain things would make me uncomfortable, but it was okay because I figured, you know, maybe eventually I can make enough money and get my own place or I don't even know, but I was like, it's fine, it's whatever. I deserve this, right? Like I can't go anywhere else. I'm homeless essentially. And so I ended up pregnant now, and I wasn't sure if I should keep this baby because I knew I couldn't raise a child with this person that would have been her father. But I also couldn't bring myself to end it. So I'm still with him at this point. I, you know, decided to keep the baby, and we were talking about raising her, and something happened where my gut was telling me that I can't allow this beautiful baby to be raised with me like this and me not trusting anyone else around me to help in a safe way. And he started to become very distant from me. So I left, packed up. He was at work. I packed up what I needed and I left. I ran to my mom's. She lived close by at the time. And I chose to give up my baby for adoption because I knew that, like I said, that I couldn't do that. So next week is when I will tell you more about my pregnancy and the adoption. The lessons that ultimately I learned throughout my college experience and shortly thereafter, the number one thing I learned is that in choosing to place my daughter for adoption and giving her the life that she deserved, I realized how selfless I could be, how strong I am to be able to make that decision and stick to it because it wasn't about me, it was about my child. I also learned again how resilient I am because even though I went through a lot and there's more things that I'm sure happened during that time in college and shortly thereafter, but the bottom line is that each time I got kicked down, even though I didn't see a goal yet, I didn't have a path, I just kept going, pick up the pieces and keep moving forward. my affirmations for this part of my story for all of you is I am resilient. I am strong. I am good enough. Thank you so much for listening. Remember, next Monday's episode will be all about my first pregnancy and the adoption. And again, I just want to remind all of you that you are all stronger than you think you are, and you can have the life you imagine having regardless of your past. Don't forget to join my Facebook group as well so that you can be in on the conversation. And you can find that on Facebook. Search the Let Good Things In Show and click Join Group. I would love to have you there. And one last thing, make sure to hit that subscribe or follow button so you don't miss an episode of the show. And I will talk to y'all soon.